Bloody Mary Podcast.
Welcome to the Bloody Mary Podcast, where we talk about all things horror while drinking a Bloody Mary. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy. And we are totally married. Tonight, we got our Bloody Marys, and we are reviewing the Netflix Fear Street series, 1994, 1978, and 1666.
Yeah, three movies.
Yeah, based on R.L. Stine books.
Yeah, I didn't know that until afterwards. I think it said that or something?
Yeah, like on the during final the credits.
Yeah. I had no idea. But I never really read those. It just kind of skipped me. I think my brother was more into those, the R.L. Stines, but I never read. I think I might have read one, but I don't remember at all.
I read as many as I could get my hands on, which wasn't a lot in the school library. And there wasn't a lot. I didn't go to the public library a lot when I was little, but I ate that shit up when I was younger. So heck, I don't know why I didn't like connect in my brain, but
I mean, I'd be curious to know if the people that have read those, if any of that is canon for the books, or if it's super loosely based on them or anything. But
I'll have to do some more research.
Yeah, but yeah, these really aren't separate films. It's kind of like one big 6-hour movie.
Right.
Because they're all interconnected. And I was doing some research, and the original plan for these was they shot them, I think, for Fox a few years ago. And then Disney bought Fox. And then the pandemic hit, and then they didn't know what to do with it, because the original plan was they were going to release these in the theaters like a month apart from each other.
Which would have been super rad.
Yeah, it would have been cool. Like,
that would have been cool.
June get one, July get one, August get one. It would be cool if they like did that anyways still.
They should.
But then a pandemic happened, Netflix jumped in and probably just gave them shovels of carts and of money and like, hey, well, we'll take it.
That money was spent on music.
It was.
And special effects.
Yeah. So the director is Lee Janik. I don't know if that's how you pronounce her last name, but she was born in 1980. So she's my age, which is really cool. She directed a few TV episodes of Scream. And then I think maybe like one or two other shows. But her first film she made was in 2014. So aside from that film and some TV stuff, this was like her next thing. And I think she's one of my favorite up-and-coming directors right now.
Oh, yeah. She did
I really like
great.
How they were directed, for sure.
Oh, yeah. For her, like, big thing.
Yeah.
Three movies. Yeah. Like, that, she did great.
Yeah. And, I'd want to do something like that. And, we can touch on that. Like, so I have a movie, a short film called Night of the Witch.
You do.
And I'm in the process of scripting the feature, right?
Right.
And we're going to get that made. And it's just, like, so many of the same beats that I was going to do, or that, some of the stuff that's in my short film and things, it was pretty similar. So I was like, God damn it. Like, my whole thing is there's a witch and in the woods and there's lore and there's scenes.
Right.
And there's like, Campground 2. That was, that's going to be in it. But also what came out of that for me was I was taking notes for my script while watching this. Like it was, one, it was like, okay, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
And then two, it was just giving me ideas that had nothing to do with what I was watching. I was like, oh, for some reason, like watching this series, every time we watched it was inspiring for my script. So
that's awesome.
That was cool.
That is cool. And I know that you're like, God damn it. But I think that'll help it in the long run.
Yeah.
That'll push you further do something a little bit different.
Yeah, for sure. And everything has been done too, so.
You just got to put your spin on it.
But anyways, so the first one is Fear Street 1994. So what'd you think about that one?
My biggest beef with this entire series, but
which is mine too.
Specifically 1994?
Very much 1994.
It was the music. Every time you turned around, there was a fucking 90s song. It was like, we get it. It's the 90s. Yeah. Oh my God.
So
like,
it's cool to have a soundtrack, right? And to get songs. But I think we were counting. We were like 30 minutes in and there had already been like 12 90s songs. And we're like, we fucking get it.
Yeah.
It's the 90s. I got it.
Oh, another. Here's Nirvana.
Yeah.
Like, I think if there's a certain time to play songs.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was like every beat of this, every like scene, it was like every time you turned around, it was another 90s song.
Yeah.
Another 90s song. Another 90s song.
It,
like
It got better as like the series went. Like 1978 had 70s songs, but not as much as 1994. And then the last one, 1666, had a few.
They did it right in 66 because
with
they
their,
put
their score
with their
yeah.
score because
yeah.
like
and their soundtrack.
When they did the 90s song, it was during a fucking montage, which is when you right. should yeah, have
yeah,
songs.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, no, like the first one, it's the, I think they started off the first one you hear is Nine Inch Nails, and like and it established it. And you're in the mall, like okay. We're in the 90s. Got it. But then they just kept going and going. It was like every couple minutes there was a new 90s song. I'm like, come the fuck on. But on the other hand, I get it. Like if I'm a filmmaker, I placehold songs when I'm editing. When right. I edit a project, I'm like, okay, this is a song in my head for this and this and this, this. And then I send it off to my, you know, who's ever going to compose the score. So they have a really great idea of the type of music I'm going for.
Right.
But if you're in a world where Netflix is just handing you cash and unlimited resources and they're like, well, you can just have those songs. They'll be like, it'd be hard to like say no.
Right.
Like I can just have Nine Inch Nails. Okay. Let's put, I can just have Bush. All right. Let's put it in then. Fine.
I
fuck it.
Feel like they're like, can we get the, what are, now that's what I call the 90s.
yeah, right.
Can we get that one? Number four, that has all the music on it. I'm like,
yeah.
Yes, there's a certain placeholders, but it really kind of, for me, distracted a bit from the first half of that movie because it was
did.
Pissing me off, quite
yeah,
frankly.
Yeah, it was making us both upset. And I think, yeah, we even stopped. We like watched half of it and then we came back to watch the rest of it like later,
right.
like a couple days later, I think, just because we were burnt out from all the songs.
It really was. But that being said, they had yeah. some really, really dope kills.
Yeah.
The girl getting pushed into the meat slicer is just cutting her head open. That was yep. fucking glorious.
So spoilers, if you don't know,
oh, yeah.
we spoil some stuff.
Super spoilers.
Super spoilery. So if you haven't watched Fear Street, check him out. And, you know, just keep listening.
The kills were super rad.
The kills for the entire series were really good.
Were spot yeah. on. And I yeah, think yeah. that's where they won with having Fox shoot most of it. And then essentially Netflix comes in
yeah.
and like, all right. And you get the special effects.
Netflix
and...
gave them a shit ton of money for post-production. I guarantee.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee they doubled, you know, their budget. Just like, here's an extra fucking $50 million.
Right.
Have fun with your music and effects.
And I liked that the cast was young. Like
yeah.
usually when they put like kids, you can tell they're like in their 20s, but like these were kids.
yeah. I think, or at least they were cast correctly.
Right, they were
yeah,
cast.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too, like the positives of it. I think the cast for 1994 and the entire series is really great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a good cast. You know, I think the first one went a little too far with paying homage to like the 90s and Scream. Like they even open like almost... frame for frame, it seemed like the opening kill for Scream, where like mm-hmm. the killer's running and stabs, and a lot of the score throughout it sounded like, you know, Marco Beltrami's score mm-hmm. for Scream. I just think it went like, so there's like a balancing act you have to play of, you know, paying homage to something and then copying. And
right.
I think they just went past it a little too much for like paying homage with 1994 to copying a little too much.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I love that all the killers come back and they're like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And the kids are just like, ah, and their plans. I mean,
yeah.
they had some really great plans to try to. Get away from all these killers that were coming
yeah,
after them.
But the last one, yeah, we'll get into
well,
that.
Well, no, in
yeah.
1994, they went to the school and they like trapped him in a bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
They blew him up.
Okay.
And, like,
yeah, they blew him up. I forgot about that. Yeah.
They did
yeah, yeah.
shit. And
yeah.
then the tie to like to the next movie where they call the chick and
mm-hmm.
then she calls him back. Like,
yeah.
I died. That's how I got it. And like,
yeah.
oh, we got to kill you.
yeah, 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 yeah. I like the last act of 1994,
mm-hmm.
you know, better than the first. But I get it. You know, I understand from, I guess, probably a marketing standpoint, or, you know, the demographic you're going is probably, you know, 10 to 15 to 20 years younger than us, to where
right.
90s is now their nostalgia.
Oh, my God.
You know, 80s is kind of like mine and a touch of 90s. But so I think that's, you know, one of the reasons.
Yeah, probably.
They did all that, you know, for sure. But yeah, and then, so I didn't watch any trailers for these before going
into
them.
I didn't either.
So I thought they were like separate films almost. I thought these were going to be, you know, like how Hulu does their horror movies. It's like Into the Dark, but each one is just a different movie.
Right.
I thought this was just called, you know, how Hulu has Into the Dark and they're separate films. I thought that's what Netflix was doing. It was called Fear Street and these are separate films, but yeah, they're just, and then the first one ended and like, oh, it's not over. And then
I thought when we first started watching it, that when they brought the Sarah Fear Witch stuff in and like all these killers are coming back, I thought then it would just be done.
Yeah.
And then you'd get to see the killer in 78, which essentially you did. Yeah. But I didn't think there was going to be a running, not running theme, but like connected.
Yeah.
Like that.
Like
as
a thread.
It was.
Yeah. It, like I said, I think it's just one big 6-hour film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, moving on to the second one, 1978. And this one out of the three was my favorite.
Mine too.
I really like this one. I loved it. I liked the structure of it. It felt like this one, out of the rest, could have been flushed into its own standalone movie, like if they wanted to, if they just, you know, tweaked a couple things. I liked the kills best in this one because they were almost like the classic hack and slash, you know, Friday the 13th, brutal. And I liked this one had my favorite killer. I liked, again, probably because he looked like Jason.
Right.
And it was a campground. I love Friday the 13th. So it was pretty much just Friday the 13th without saying it.
Really?
What? Right.
He even had a sack on his head.
I know. but I just like the brutal axe kills. I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
That was cool when he can like, they're like, was it Tommy is his name?
I forget.
And then they look and the girls like pop out and he just axed the shit out of the other guy. And they're like, oh.
And then he went and like axed a whole bunch of kids too.
Oh my God. He killed all the kids.
He like Anakin Skywalker'd him. That was rad. I like that. That was pretty cool. Yeah. I like the setting, the 70s, 1978.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, it's, you know, part of where my short film Night of the Witch takes place is 1978, but whatever. Let's move past that. I liked it. I liked the actresses. I liked the two sisters. I thought that
Sadie
was really
Sink,
cool.
I really like her from Stranger Things. She did really, really great.
Duh. That's where she's from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I would have liked to see her. I want to see her in more horror films.
Yeah.
I think she did pretty excellent in this. And I think she'd do good as a final girl
totally.
In other movies.
Yeah. I really like the ending scene where they're both getting murdered. The sisters are getting stabbed to death and like butchered together. Like,
right. And then they like pans up and you just see them dead.
Yeah.
And then the Nick Good comes in, like he's supposed to take over for his dad. He's going to be the sheriff one day. And he's like, you're not going to die.
Yeah.
And he saves her, which, I mean, on one hand, cool. But on the other hand, like, you saved me. Great. Thanks. Everyone I know is dead. I have
well, I'd want to be saved.
PTSD up the ass.
I wouldn't want to die.
Now she's like locked in her house with like six different locks and she has the thing. Like,
but she saves the day. Helps save the day.
She does.
Right?
But I still would be like, fuck you.
I'd be like, thank you, sir.
Oh,
you saved my life.
As someone who has PTSD and I don't know. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I'm good.
No, I think this one, you know, had the same beats as any campground slasher from the 80s, you know, and I liked it.
I did too.
I like the Goonies aspect of...
Oh, the shithole.
Yeah, the shithole. When they were down in the shithole, which was like the Goonies wishing well scene, except they're just in shit.
They're like, is that my sister? Like, she lifts up the toilet. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing down there?
And then, you know, they try to lift her up in like a bucket, much like the Goonies. And yeah, I thought that was pretty fun.
That was fun. And I liked the underground little tunnels they were stuck in.
Yeah.
And then the glob of just evil.
The Satan evil glob, yeah.
The Satan evil glob.
The like, it would remind me of just It from Stephen King. Like there's this entity that's down below.
Right.
And it sends out its... extensions
which is really gross when they start climbing out of it the killers that was awesome.
78 was my favorite. So 1666, what'd you think of that one, the third one?
I liked that she like grabs her hand, you know, the girl like brings the bones back. That was the whole thing
of like the whole like plot through the whole thing is a witch is doing all this. So right. Throughout these films, they discover the bones, they discover the hand, and you think the witch is the bad guy, which I called I think halfway through the second movie. I was like, she's not the villain.
There's too much going on
in this world that they're creating here right. for her to be the bad. And you never see it. It's just people are talking about
and
it.
And then you have
so
to
rules
like,
of any movie, if you don't see anything, it has you don't know if it happened.
Right. And like every time blood drips on the bones, the killers come after the person.
Yeah.
And so the one girl's, because the whole thing was like, if you bring her hand back to her body, everything will stop.
Yeah.
So she does that. And then I liked that she got kind of transported in time a little bit, and she's living Sarah, and then she's Sarah Fear.
Yeah.
And sees what happens. Yeah, and so essentially, it's because she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
She kissed the girl. And the girl kissed her back.
Yeah. Well, that's like the plot of the first one too, right? There was the lesbian plot and then, yeah.
Kind of, but like this one was really like...
Yeah.
The town just goes into blight and now they blame her because they blame the girls because they're lesbians. They must be a witch.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You must be a witch. But then she finds out the bad guy is actually her friend, Solomon.
Yeah.
Solomon Good, who...
And you called that, you know...
I did. I was like, oh, he's the bad guy.
And you called that he was a bad guy and they were doing it through the generations.
Yep.
Yep.
Because then you're like, oh, that great Nick Good who saved her life is now the fucking bad guy.
Yeah.
He's been the bad guy the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the one that's... Yeah, so... I called it, but I do like the little twist.
It was cool because, you know, you see him in the second one as like being a good kid. But then someone that's cool, you know, filmmaking techniques to where then you see it from a different perspective and they do your flashbacks and, oh, he wasn't really that good.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the one that was down under the ground being like, Tommy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever that... The one killer with the sack on his head.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so. Yeah. I mean, the one thing that took me a minute, the 1666 was, so it used like all the characters from the other films. The same actors are playing these characters. And it just, I couldn't buy their accents.
Their accents were not great. Like,
yeah. It was like, hello, tally-ho to the hay, and we shall drink our mead and take berries.
Witches. They're witches.
They are witches here. Yeah, I couldn't.
Those were a little hard to take.
I like got into it, you know, as it went, but I was like, yeah, this one. And thankfully, that part wasn't too long. I think it was about an hour, 1666. And then you come back to present day, which is 1994.
Right. And the whole, essentially, because like there's the running theme of Shady Side and Sunnyvale, or not Sunnyvale's Buffy, but like.
Yeah, whatever. I didn't get that. Like, I didn't realize that was a thing until like the end of the third movie. Like, because they were talking about it. It was like rival schools.
They had the whole rival schools, rival towns, because they were all union settlement. And then. The goods came along and struck a deal with the devil. And then all of the people that he wanted were all powerful and money and riches. And that side of town.
That's where they would sacrifice.
And every few years they have to, a good has to go down to the Satan pile and put a name on a list.
The Satan poop pile.
The Satan poop pile.
Down the shithole. Yeah.
Put a name on a list and kill some of the sunny shader, you know, the other town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill them because they're all crap and it's all cursed and they're all poor and
maybe I didn't pick up on that, but I never there's a town rival. Like I didn't know it was a big thing until like the end of the third one. I really liked Gillian Jacobs in this. She was the adult version of the survivor girl from 1978. Ziggy. Yeah, she was really cool. Like I loved the show Community. And she's in that, like I watched it, and that's on Netflix now. So, you know, I'm rewatching it again. Right. Like I watched it when it first came out, but she's really good in that. And I'd like to see her. She's a good actress and I'm surprised she hasn't got like bigger roles. I don't see her in too much.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's funny, like whenever way back when they were announcing the Suicide Squad and there's going to be a Harley Quinn, like I thought she would have been a great one.
Really?
This actress. Yeah. Anyways, it was cool that she was in it, and I liked her character.
It was cool, and yeah. I like how when the kids came back, they're like, you had it all wrong. That guy's bad.
Yeah, he's bad.
And she's like, shit, I called him.
Yeah.
Right? And so I love how they, like, steal the cop car, and they roll up to that there was, like, when the kids were in the police station back in 1994, there was just, like, some crook guy hanging out, and he got, like, let go. And so, like, the kid, like, rolls up, and he's like, hey, you want to help us kill the sheriff? And the guy's like, all right.
He's like, yeah, let me get my coat. That was cool. I liked his character. I think, like I said before, I think the cast is really great from this whole thing.
Right. And I love that the hanging tree, so they hang Seraphir from a tree.
Yeah.
And her body is supposed to be under the tree. And when in the 78 one, they're like, that's where they had the hand, and they were gonna bury her with the hand, and then the body wasn't there. And they're like, where's the tree now? In the middle of a fucking mall.
Yeah, it's just in the middle of a mall.
They built the mall around the tree.
Yeah, and that's really strange because it's a living tree inside of a mall.
Right.
Like, that's odd.
It is super odd.
Does that exist anywhere?
I'm sure, probably. Yeah. But, like, it was just super weird. Like, they saved the tree that the witch was hanged at, and they just built the mall around it.
Maybe the bad people made that mall and designed it.
Maybe they did. Maybe the goods were like, we're keeping the tree as a reminder.
Yeah.
And we're just going to build rich and powerful money things around it.
Yeah. And I liked at the end how they get out of the tunnel and they crawl through the bad guy's house.
Oh, yeah.
And they're you see all his weird decorations, and then they come out into Yuppieville, and then they're all like, what? And then since the curse is lifted, then you see a truck like hit one of like the rich people. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And then soon, like the news, like, well, over in the rich town over here, shit's going wrong. And the sheriff turns out he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And I did like their trap in the mall, though. They were super, like, how
that was cool.
They super soakered, you know, all of...
They, like, got her blood and then mixed it with neon paint so they could see it.
Right.
That was really fun.
That was fun. And then how they were, like, the little grates in each store, and, like, they trapped them. And then that was really fun to watch. That was a really cool trap.
What were your favorite killers? Mine was, of course, I like the sackhead because he reminds me of Jason, but I really like the singing lady from the 50s.
Ruby Lane was my favorite.
And then I really enjoyed the kid with the weird mask and the baseball bat. Oh, he was creepy.
He was super creepy.
Yeah. Which ones did you like?
I liked Ruby Lane.
Yeah.
And I liked the creepy kid. And I mean the skull one, he was fun. Kind of reminded you of Scream, that one. But I would say Ruby Lane. She was creepy for me.
Well, I bet, you know, they're successful, so you will probably see those.
And then that would be cool to see. Because that's what I thought. You're going to get a picture of, that serial killer in this time.
Mm-hmm.
And that serial killer in this time.
Yeah.
You know, it was super, and in the 60s and 66, thank God, there wasn't music back then. I mean, it was actual score, so that was really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it did go back to 1994, they placed the songs where they should have.
Yeah,
it wasn't like,
yeah, it wasn't
score,
like,
and then 90s
50 songs in the first 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know, if you had to rate all these movies, what would you rate? The first one out of 10. 1 out of 10 Bloody Marys.
7.
The first one?
Yes.
Cool.
What would you rate it?
5.
5?
Yeah. I think the first one it's a 5. It's average.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the first, I do it because if you're doing them individually, it's a 5. Because the first half was really, I did not like all that scoring.
Yeah,
and they leaned way too heavy into the 90s, way too heavy into Scream. That being said, I did like the cast a lot, and I like the kills.
The kills bumped it up for me.
And the directing.
Yeah. I mean, they put the girl in the meat cutter, and you watched her face get... That was awesome.
It was, but...
So, for me, it bumped up because the kills were good.
Gotcha. But what about 1978?
8 for me.
That's the same for me. It's 8. I really like that one.
That was really, it was fun. Mm-hmm. I liked the cast. I liked the story.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it had like that anxiety because you're you go into it like, oh, she's she survived.
Yeah.
Then, and I know that she mentions, well, I died, but you're not thinking like she's going to get stabbed 15 times.
Yeah.
And like that anxiety of being surrounded by all the killers and like that tension, yeah. That was cool.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there was some really cool like banging and sex moments in there.
There was.
Some sexy babes. Some sexy butts.
Yeah.
Some man butt for you.
There was some man butt.
Yeah. I like that. So bumped it up. Bumped it up to 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of 1666?
That one, 7.
I also gave it a 7.
That one's a 7. It's better for me than 94. Yeah, it's a 7. You know, it brings it down just a little bit from like 8 or 9 land is the accents and the kind of paint-by-numbers plot that 1666 had. But then the ending of it was great.
The ending was
great. How they wrapped up all the films was really cool.
It was.
Yeah.
Agreed. What about overall? As an overall 6-hour movie.
Well, overall.
In 3 acts.
If I take 5 plus 8 plus 6, it's 20 divided by 3 equals 6.666666666. So my overall rating is 666.
So, oh God! See, I didn't even do math. Now you're gonna make me do math.
No. Okay. So wait, what was your first one?
7.
7.
8. 7.
7, 8, 7. So you're probably 7. You're at a 7.
I'm at a 7. We'll just say 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not doing math in my head.
Okay. Cool. So you're 7. I'm 666.
Super close.
Yeah. So overall, I thought the series was those 3 films were really good.
They were.
I'd like to see more. And I thought it was great directing. I thought it was really good acting. I thought kills were really cool. I liked the killer designs. The special effects were cool. You know, it's just that it started off rough for me.
It did start off rough. The first half of 1994. Because it was
but
really...
But it definitely redeemed itself as it went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the structure of, you know, the 3 films was interesting. You know, it's a trilogy that they threw out there.
Right.
You know, for sure. So I'm curious if they do more.
I will, because you have, I mean, the Fear Street series and R.L. Stein, there's a lot of books.
Yeah.
So there is a lot to tap into.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know.
But
I'd like to see more.
Yeah, I'd like to see more from that director. And like I said, I'd like to see Sadie Sink do more horror and be a final girl. I think she would be.
Yeah.
She would be a good up and coming final girl.
Yeah, she would for sure. Definitely. Cool. Well, heck, maybe we might have to dress as some of those for some Halloween, some of those killers. But anyways, well, that was Fear Street. So,
all right,
our Bloody Marys are pretty much dead.
Yep, and so are we.
yeah, totally. So drink in moderation, enjoy life and death.
And we'll see you next time.
Later.
Bye bye.
Peace out. Bloody Mary.